So if you turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings to chapter 15, here we're going to see how the Assyrians began to cause great difficulty for the children of Israel that ultimately led to the events that we were studying about earlier today when they besieged Jerusalem when Hezekiah was king of Judah. But before that happened, remember at this time there were the kingdom was divided into two separate kingdoms, that is the Israelites. You had the kingdom of the north that was referred to as the kingdom of Israel, the capital being Samaria. That included 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then you had the kingdom of Judah in the south, and that's the kingdom that Hezekiah reigned over shortly after these events. But we're reading here in 2 Kings chapter 15 about what happened to the northern kingdom, to those 10 tribes in the north, or what started to happen to them and eventually happened to all of them here. But in 2 Kings 15, verses 17 through 20, it says, "In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Menahem, the son of Gadai, to reign over Israel, and reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. And Menahem exacted the money of Israel, even of all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land." But of course, the Assyrians were going to be back very soon. But we see the very first encroachments here by the Assyrians against Israel. And then in verses 29 and 30, it says, "In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon and Beth-Maacah and Genoa and Kadesh and Hazor and Gilead and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. And Hoshea the son of Elah made a conspiracy against Pekah the son of Remaliah, and smote him and slew him and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham the son of Uzziah." So at this time you can see the very northern tribes, those that were in that region around Galilee, were taken into captivity to Assyria. Around the same time, 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 25 and 26 also tells us that the 2.5 tribes that were on the east side of the Jordan River were also taken captive by the Assyrians. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verses 25 and 26. It says, "And they transgressed against the God of their fathers and went a-whoring after the gods of the people of the land whom God destroyed before them. And the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pileser, king of Assyria. And he carried them away, even the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and brought them unto Halah and Habor and Hara and to the river Gozan unto this day." So here those two Assyrian kings started to cause great difficulty for the Israelites and took, first of all, the tribes that were in the very north around Galilee, and as well as those tribes, those 2.5 tribes that occupied the land on the east side of the Jordan River. So then the rest of the remaining tribes under the reign of Hoshea, the one that we just read in 2 Kings 15, 29 and 30, that took over the kingdom, he became the last king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And in 2 Kings chapter 17, 1 through 8, it tells about how under his reign, the rest of Samaria fell. It was besieged, it fell, and the rest of the people of that northern kingdom of Israel, the remainder of those 10 tribes, were taken into captivity by the Assyrians. And none of these ever returned to the land of Israel. 2 Kings 17, 1 to 8, "In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea the son of Elah to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no presents to the king of Assyria as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and Habor by the river of Gozan in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. So there they went into captivity, never to return. And then we read in verses 20 through 23 of this same chapter, it says, "And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. And they became known to history as the lost tribes of Israel." They never returned to the land. God did not preserve a remnant of them. And so that was it for them. So that entire northern kingdom and all 10 tribes gone by the hands of the Assyrians. So that left Judah alone, and Hezekiah became their king. But before he did, his father, Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, was king of Judah, and he was a wicked man. 2 Kings 16:1-4 says, "In the 17th year Pekah the son of Remaliah, Ahaz the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree." So that's what Ahaz did. Verses 7 through 9 says that Ahaz sent messengers to Tilglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, saying, "I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me." And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. So now he's making great encroachments on Judah. This continues under Ahaz's reign. If we turn now to 2 Chronicles, to chapter 28, and look at verses 16 through 22. 2 Chronicles 28:16-22. It says, "At that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him, for again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country and of the south of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh and Ajalon, and Gederoth and Shoko with the villages thereof, and Timnath with the villages thereof, Gimzo and the villages thereof, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz king of Israel, for he had made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Tilgath-Pileser king of Assyria came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord." This is that King Ahaz, who was the father of Hezekiah. So this very wicked king, the most wicked king that Judah ever had, was the father of the one that the Lord describes trusted the Lord more than any of the other kings of Judah. It's really remarkable that Hezekiah had such a trust in the Lord when he had such a wicked father that he did. But he did, and it tells us this in 2 Kings chapter 18, and we read a portion of this morning. But 2 Kings 18, let's again read verses 1 through 7. "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah. nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now the Assyrian king was not going to appreciate what Hezekiah was doing by not submitting to him, by rebelling against him. But we want to go very briefly to the book of Isaiah and look at a couple of prophecies there. And this was all fulfillment of things that God had foretold by Isaiah the prophet. If we turn to the book of Isaiah, look at chapter 8 and verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 8, 7 and 8. He said, "Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah, and he shall overthrow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel." So here God foretold the Assyrians coming into the land of Israel and throughout Judah like a rising river that has overflowed its banks. And here is a flood, and it was going to reach all the way up to the neck. Now, this is when Hezekiah was trusting the Lord, and the Assyrians came and besieged Jerusalem. They conquered all the cities of Judah and came and besieged the only remaining city. So those waters were indeed up to the neck. And that's what we read about in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And there we want to first read verses 1 through 8. At this time, we can see the trust that Hezekiah had in the Lord in spite of this threat the Assyrians had brought upon him, a very serious threat, because here he was a witness to how the Assyrians had conquered all of the northern kingdom of Israel, those 10 tribes, and now they've come through his own kingdom and taken all the fenced cities, everything but this last remaining city of Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 32, 1 through 8. "After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, 'Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?' Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, 'Be strong and courageous.'" Now, we just sang that, didn't we? He said, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So when the Assyrians had flooded through the land like a river, and had risen all the way up to the neck, did Hezekiah stop trusting the Lord at that time? Did he say, everything I've been doing now has failed. All of my prayers are not being heard. The Assyrians just keep coming and keep coming, and now they're right here at the gates. It's time for me to find another way out of this mess. Is that the way Hezekiah looked at that? Or did he continue to trust the Lord even when those waters were up to his neck and telling all the people to comfort themselves and trust the Lord? Well, we can see the faith that he had, and the Lord rewarded that. The rest of this chapter tells how God defended the city of Jerusalem and rewarded Hezekiah's faith when this king of Assyria sent his servant Rabshakeh to tell all the people not to trust the Lord and not to listen to Hezekiah, who was telling them to trust the Lord. Then God defeated them, sent his angel, destroyed their army in the night, and then destroyed Sennacherib himself at the hands of his own sons when he retreated and fled back to his own land. And so God did that to save Judah and Jerusalem in response to the faith and the trust in the Lord that Hezekiah had. And we can consider that. I mean, in all of our lives, we're told that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. We know from James chapter 1, 2 through 4, we're going to have trials on our faith. And those trials will work patience in us if we remain rooted and grounded in the Lord. And we should count all those things joy when they come upon us, those diverse temptations, knowing that they work patience in us, endurance. And if we let patience have a perfect work, then we will be complete and entire, lacking nothing. James chapter 2, verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. We're going to have trials on our faith. We're going to have great difficulties in our lives at times. And sometimes it may seem that the waters are up to our neck. And the question is, when it gets like that, do we abandon our trust in the Lord? Do we lose our faith in Him at those times? Or do we continue to look at His Word, trust in Him, follow that with our faith in Him, knowing that He's going to work all that for our good, that He is going to fulfill His purpose so that we never forsake Him no matter what happens? Will we be like Job and say, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him? That's the kind of faith Job had. That's the kind of faith Hezekiah had. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. There's some thoughts for us to consider as we go through our daily lives and the trials on our faith. This time we'll ask Brother Ted to come up and lead us in song.